following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Perhaps by now, and hopefully by now, you've heard the phrase Merry Christmas quite often. Hopefully you've expressed that to many different people. Maybe you've said that to someone maybe a couple of different dozen times, maybe a couple of hundred times. My hope and my prayer is that you're not one of those who expresses it by saying Happy Holidays. If you are, the altars are open now. You can come repent of that. But my hope and my prayer actually is beyond this holiday season, when you are through saying Merry Christmas, that you will find some other way to express the joy that you have in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope and my prayer is that throughout this holiday season, you have experienced the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And every day you're trying to find some way to express that. What is the difference between joy and happiness? We're going to explore that a little bit this morning. There are many different things that can make us happy as human beings. Giving gifts makes you happy. Maybe finding that perfect gift for someone special and watching them unwrap that gift and seeing the expression. Maybe that's something that makes you happy. Maybe receiving a gift is what makes you happy. We all know that the little kids are really excited this time of year because they're hoping that they'll be happy on Christmas morning, that they made it to the nice list and not on the naughty list. And so there are a lot of different things that make us happy in our life. There is a scientific reason why we crave sweets. A sweet tooth is something that can be explained both biologically, psychologically, neurologically. You can put something sweet in your mouth, you can candy cane, just a piece of sugar, a cookie or something like that. And if someone were doing a scan on your brain would just completely light up because your body is releasing serotonin. Many other chemicals are released throughout your body that just bring this sense of happiness to your body. I mean, and it's temporary. That's what we describe as a sugar rush. And that happiness only lasts for a little while. Then you have that crash at the end of it. So also, there are some things that make you happy. Maybe traveling back and forth to loved ones' homes during the holiday season, visiting with those that you love, family and friends. Maybe just taking that big pot of gumbo and putting it in your vehicle and traveling from one side of town to the other to find out that you didn't spill a drop of it. That not only makes you happy, but that's actually a miracle around here. So there's many different things that make us happy in life, but most of the times what we experience as happiness, it's only temporary things. And so what is it that brings joy to your life? Well, what we find in Scripture is that happiness can be temporary sometimes. Sometimes our circumstances dictate whether we are happy or not. But if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, there should be a joy in your life that is experienced every day, no matter what. When you experience and when you understand what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live your life out in a way where others will see that joy in you and well. Especially during this Christmas season, we hear a lot about joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We see signs offering joy. And so in the Bible, joy is described in many different ways. We went through a sermon series earlier this year exploring the Beatitudes. We found out that when Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." With that word blessed, there has many different meanings. Happy and joyous is also included in that definition of the meaning of blessed. But when you look at joy in the Old Testament, the actual Hebrew word is simcha. And it is used only 99 times throughout the whole entire Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are approximately 592,000 words. The word joy is found 99 times throughout the Old Testament. That means it's found one out of every 5,900 words approximately. But in the Old Testament, joy is closely related to several different things. Joy can be related to victory over someone's enemies. Joy can be expressed through religious acts, sacrifices, and offerings. Joy is expressed through feasts, restoration, return from captivity. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 26, it said that joy was experienced when King Hezekiah reinstituted the Passover. From the time of King Solomon to the time of King Hezekiah, they had quit doing Passover. And when King Hezekiah reinstituted that, it says there was a joy felt, no joy greater since the time of King Solomon. In the days of Ezra, when Ezra went back to Jerusalem to reestablish temple worship, whenever they laid the foundation of the temple, Ezra 3:12 says that there was great joy found throughout God's people. And then when the temple was completed and they dedicated that temple, Ezra chapter 6, verse 16 says that when the temple was dedicated, there was a great joy found all throughout the region. But when we move to the New Testament, joy is expressed in a much, much different way. The word joy in the New Testament is the Greek word chara. It's where we get the word charisma or charismatic from. And in the New Testament, the word joy is used approximately 66 different times. Total words in the New Testament are 184,500. So one in every 3,000 words, you'll find the word joy. Throughout Scripture, joy is a big theme. It is mentioned and it is expressed and it is taught about so many different ways. In the New Testament, joy is actually one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is something that only the Holy Spirit can produce through the life of a believer. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness. So here's the biggest difference that we find between Old Testament joy and New Testament joy. Old Testament joy is expressed through the presence of God through external means, worship, restoration, victory over enemies, things that God has done miraculously for them. But in the New Testament, joy is expressed internally through the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. So how would you define joy, and how would you differentiate between happiness and joy? Joy is closely related to gladness and happiness, but joy is a state of being rather than just a brief emotion. And joy is actually really a matter of choice. The Bible says that it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And so you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you know that you are a child of God, you should be walking in a joy that no one else that this lost world can experience day in and day out. And there's nothing that can rob you of that joy. And when you live in that joy, it shows, it is revealed to other people. They recognize that there's something different about you by the way you handle situations, and this joy that you have no matter what is going on in your life. So let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 16. This is our main passage that we'll be working through, but we will refer to several different passages in the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. So we'll be turning back and forth to those throughout the message this morning. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. We always stand out of honor and reverence of God's Word as we gather together on Sunday mornings as a congregation to worship. This is a part of our worship, is reading of God's Word, and I want to read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 11. And the psalmist writes here, he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." That is a key verse in this passage, and it is a key verse in the topic that we're looking at this morning. Verse 3 is, "The saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. We've been looking at this a lot in the book of Deuteronomy in our study on Wednesday nights. And when you really get down to a study of what it is to have a portion of the Lord or have an inheritance of the Lord, this verse really comes alive in this passage. And it is very closely connected to the joy that you experience as a child of God. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, anytime you see a therefore in scripture, you look and see what it is therefore. He has explained all of this, and now he's saying, because of all this that I just wrote about, therefore my heart is glad and my heart rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And verse 11 is the one that I really want to focus on here. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living with you. The presence of God goes with you wherever you go. And in God's presence, you experience a joy that this world will never, ever experience. So I'm going to ask you one more time. I've been asking this all year long, it seems like. How's your quiet time? How is your time with the Lord when you experience his presence through prayer, through the reading of God's word, and in a congregational setting like this as well? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you so much and we thank you for this day. Lord, we want to experience your presence today. As we think about the Christmas story, as we think about you coming to this earth, Lord God, you wanted to be with your creation, face to face, wrapped in human flesh and blood. And we just thank you for this opportunity today, Lord God, to understand what kind of joy that brings in the life of a believer. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I just pray, Lord God, that today would be the day that they would experience a joy through your presence like they never have before. And we just ask it all in your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 2 in Psalm 16 clearly says that my goodness is nothing apart from you. So if there's times in your life where it seems like God is distant, does that change the degree of joy that you experience in your life? It's just this clear. God is not the one that is moved. If you're distant from the Lord right now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So perhaps maybe you're the one who has drifted away from the Lord, and you can't say that apart from you, my goodness actually means absolutely nothing. Here's one thing that I want you to see through this passage and through what we talk about this morning. And this is probably the toughest one for me. Situations I'm going through right now, things that are going on in my life, they could actually change or alter, if I let them, my outlook on life and my relationship with the Lord. Point number one is that joy found in Jesus Christ is never dependent upon our circumstances. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm doing okay under the circumstances? That's the problem right there, is when you get under your circumstances, you'll suffocate. But when you get on top of your circumstances, when you live your life in the fullness of the Lord, experiencing the joy that only he can bring through his presence, you'll get above your circumstances. And you'll learn how to live dealing with those things that you encounter each and every day. Joy found in Jesus Christ is never, ever dependent on our circumstances. Circumstances change day in and day out. Sometimes you have a good day. Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you have a terrible day. But those circumstances should never, ever rob you of your joy that you can find only through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's what Jesus promised. He told his disciples, look, Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm going to make everything easy for you. You're going to walk in victory each and every day. He didn't say, I'm going to spoon feed you exactly what you need. He didn't say life was going to be a bed of roses. But here's what he said. John chapter 16, verses 33 through 34. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Well, Jesus, that just doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling. I want everything to go good for me. And if it don't go good for me, I'm not going to be happy. That cannot be the outlook that we take on our life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So here's a question I have to ask to you. Do you allow what's happening in your life to dictate whether or not you live with joy? Paul and Silas were chained together in a cold, dark Roman prison, but that did not deprive them of the joy that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that midnight hour, a prison cell became a place of worship because they were not going to let their circumstance dictate whether or not they lived their life with joy. They did not let their circumstance deprive them of their joy. So Gary Kinneman wrote a book, and he described the difference between happiness and joy as this, and I quote, he says, happiness is when you are happy. He says, but joy is when God has done so much in your life that you will bring happiness to others. So when you go to someone, the cashier at the store, maybe someone working there, and just tell them Merry Christmas, what are you saying to them? Are you saying to them, I want you to be happy today and today only? Do I want you to be happy just during the Christmas season? Because here's what I've learned as a pastor. A lot of people will listen to what you're not saying rather than what you are saying. And so some people may say, well, hey, this person only wants me to experience joy right now during the Christmas season, but not any other time. But joy is when God has done so much in your life that you will bring happiness to others, not just during Christmas time, but during every day of your life. And if you've experienced the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have had all of your sins washed away, if you've been born again, if your old life has been laid to rest and you are walking in newness of life, then you've experienced something that cannot and should not be contained. And it should not be dictated by your circumstances either. And you've experienced something that if it is bringing that happiness and that joy in your life, you're going to want someone else to experience it as well. I'm not saying that Christians will never, ever experience sadness. But that sadness is only temporary if you have truly experienced the presence of Jesus in your life. And nothing can never, ever take that away from you. As John Logan was explaining a while ago, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, is actually quoting the prophet Isaiah. When Isaiah writes in chapter 7, verse 14, he clearly says that when Jesus comes to this earth, we will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when this happens in your life, when you experience God's presence in your life, then your circumstances are completely and totally irrelevant. Look at what Psalm 16:11 says. It says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the only way for me to experience true joy in my life is to know that Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I am in him and he is in me. And that's something that this world can never, ever separate. Jesus said, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my circumstances will not dictate that relationship that I have with him. Here's another thing that we see about joy found in Jesus Christ. Point number two, joy found in Jesus Christ will always become contagious. Not only is it unchangeable by your circumstances in your life, but when you experience true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes contagious to other believers, to those who are not believers yet, to this church, to those outside of this church, to those out in the lost world. And we see that in the Christmas story in several different places. Psalm 16:3 says that as for the saints who are on the earth, they are excellent, in whom is all my delight. That's one thing that we all have in common. If you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we share that same joy. And it becomes contagious when someone else lives out their faith, when someone else begins gaining victory over the things in their life and they experience that joy that only Jesus Christ can bring. It catches on with others. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to turn there. A little bit closer into the Christmas story. Whenever the wise men were following the star, they went through King Herod and told him about why they were there. And it said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly glad joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they entered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what they had been looking for. They didn't understand why they were following this star until they got there. And when they experienced who this was, Emmanuel, God with us, they knew that they were in the presence of divine royalty. And their joy became contagious. They had a worship session. They gave offerings. They gave gifts. They fell down and they worshiped him. When is the last time somebody saw you coming to church and said, man, that person, something's going on in their life. I see them day in and day out. Nothing phases them. They're happy all the time. They're joyous all the time. They love serving their church. They love being around people of God. I want to know what's going on in their life. That joy that you express, the way you live out your life, it then becomes contagious to other people. Not only was it the wise men that were contagious with their joy, the shepherds were as well. Luke chapter 2. The angel came and visited the shepherds, but they couldn't contain it in themselves. Their natural reaction was to go and tell someone else about what they were told and what they saw. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. It was contagious. It caught on. He said, this is joy that you experience. Being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just for you, but it's going to be for all people to experience as well. For there is born to you this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And here's where it really got contagious. They couldn't contain it no more. What they had saw, what they experienced in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was something they knew they could not keep to themselves. In verse 17, it says this, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Let me ask you this. When is the last time someone has marveled over your testimony? When is the last time you've told someone, "Hey, I used to be a sinner. I was lost in sin. I was dying and going to hell, but I've been born again. Jesus Christ lives in me. He set me free. I have experienced God's presence firsthand, and I now have a relationship with him that nothing can ever change." And that person says, "Wow, tell me how that works. I want to experience that too." When is the last time that your faith has actually become contagious to those around you? Jesus talks about this joy in Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells three different parables of three things that were once lost and then found. And whenever those items were found, the person who discovered them, the person who found them, the owner rejoiced. They had a great joy because of this discovery that they had made. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And in each and every case, when that thing that had once been lost was found and reclaimed by its owner, it says that that owner rejoiced and went and told everyone about what they had found. And here's the key to this whole chapter. Luke 15, those three parables, Jesus says this. He says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let me tell you something. When your faith becomes contagious, when your joy is infecting the people around you, because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that person steps into a relationship by grace through faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that everything in heaven stops and there is great joy among the angels of heaven. That's how contagious your faith can and should become. Joy is found in Jesus Christ. And when joy is found in Jesus Christ, it will always, always become contagious. Let me ask you this. Does it bring great joy to you when others come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the things that we do around here when someone steps forward and becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, they follow up in believer's baptism. When that person is baptized and comes up out of the water, there is a great round of applause because everybody is excited that another person has been added to God's family. It becomes contagious whenever that person who was once lost is now found and they enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when a lost person finds new life through a relationship with Jesus Christ, does that make you want to share the good news in the gospel with others? Just like those shepherds, it was totally unexpected to them on that night. But yet that angel announced to them, they followed the instructions. They entered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to each other, "Man, this is something we just can't keep to ourselves." And each and every person that they told about what they had witnessed, what they saw, what impacted their life, it says they marveled at that. So when a lost person does come to find new life through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of an impact does it have on your faith? Does that motivate you to make sure that your faith is known by as many people as possible? Does that make you want to spread the good news that there is a God in heaven that loves you and there is a Savior who died for you? And you'll experience a joy through a relationship with Him that you won't find anywhere else. And that leads me to my last point. When true joy is found in Jesus Christ, it is expressed best by communication. Sometimes you just got to open up your mouth and share the good news. Sometimes you're going to have to verbalize what's inside of your heart to someone else for them to really understand what is going on. I used to be a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe when the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then I confessed my sins for him and I committed my life to him. And he's made me a new person. And that's how you too can enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how to communicate your faith in the best way that you can. Psalm chapter 16, verse 7, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, the shepherds spread the words as quickly as they could to as many people as they could. They left their flocks. They went back to the town and they found as many people as they possibly could, because what they experienced, what they saw, what they heard from the angels, they said everybody needs to know about what God has done for them and what God can do through them as well. Learn how to express and learn how to communicate that joy as often as possible. Maybe today you're struggling with something. Maybe today your salvation isn't bringing you the joy that it once did. Maybe you have found yourself drifting further and further away from the Lord. Maybe you need to communicate to him, God, I don't want that relationship to go on like that. God, I want to draw closer to you and I want to experience your presence, especially during this Christmas season, like I never have before. Maybe you need to say like David did in Psalm 51:10, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Maybe you're having trouble finding day to day ways that you can help others experience a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that joy is just sometimes difficult to come by. I'm fixing to give you a way to remember how you can have joy day in and day out. When you take the word joy and spell it out, J-O-Y, here's a way that you can set some priorities in your life for you to experience joy, not just during the Christmas season, but every day of the year. If you'll put Jesus first, if you'll put others second, if you'll put yourself third, if you'll set those priorities in your life, you'll experience a joy in ways that you never have before. Maybe your priorities are a little bit out of order right now. Perhaps you've lost that sense of joy in your walk with the Lord. In just a moment, these altars are going to be open. Maybe you could say like David did, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And this year, I want to have a merrier Christmas than I ever have before, because I found a new life. I have found a new walk with you. My relationship has been restored in ways that it never has before. And I now know how I can set my priorities in a way that will bring me joy each and every day of the year. Augustine said this, it's a quote that's in your outline, and he says this, he says, I quote, true happiness is to rejoice in the truth. For to rejoice in the truth is to rejoice in you, O God, who are the truth. Those who think that there is another kind of happiness look for joy elsewhere. But theirs is not true joy. You may be looking for joy in a hobby. You may be looking for joy in a bank account. You may be looking for joy in a relationship with another person. You may be looking for joy in a habit or something else that you think might bring you joy. But let me just say something. What you're going to find is just a temporary happiness. It's only going to be superficial. It's not going to last long. It's going to be something that is not authentic. The only way that you're going to experience true joy in your life is through this little baby lying here in the manger, in this manger scene. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And the presents that you give this Christmas, they're only going to be temporary. Some will be more meaningful than others, but it's only through his presence in your life that you'll experience a joy like you never have before. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Over these next few moments, I want you to think about what's going on in your life right now. Maybe there's something that's brought sadness to your heart. Maybe there's something you're struggling with in your relationship with another person. Maybe your walk with the Lord is not as close as it used to be. Maybe your faith has grown lukewarm. You won't find something that will reignite your hope and your joy and your walk with the Lord. These altars are open right now. You don't have to wait for the music to begin. Whatever the case may be, God's waiting to hear from you. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what you need to do. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're looking at. He knows when you've been naughty, and he knows when you've been nice. But my prayer is that this morning, whatever your situation may be, then when you walk out of this building, you'll walk out with a sense of joy like you haven't experienced in a long, long time. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. That's a joy that you won't find anywhere else. To know that your sins have been forgiven, to know that you've been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that you now have an eternal home in heaven that nothing can take away from you, that all comes through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Right now, invite him into your life. Give him full control. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can find joy in your presence. And it's a joy that we'll never experience in any other way. Lord, as we sing in just a moment, Joy to the World, we want that joy that we experience through a relationship with you to be heard by others around us, to be experienced by others around us. But it all starts this morning, making sure that our priorities in check, making sure that we are putting you in first place of everything that we do. So I pray right now, Lord God, that there's someone here who has not yet submitted their life to you, if they haven't asked you to forgive them of their sins, Lord God, I pray that it would start today. We just ask all these things in your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.